Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today, co-host Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. We're going to talk about foreign policy today, believe it or not. There's never a day when there's something important not going on in the world, even though it doesn't get covered by that other media. But something significant happened, you know, since the election and over the weekend, and it's the continuation of Obama's policy. Although I hope for changes in foreign policy, and there are hints, you know, maybe a change in attitude toward Russia, actually this is probably a continuation of Obama's policy, and that's what's going on in Yemen. You know, it was a bombing raid, and it didn't go exactly what it was supposed to. Civilians were killed, and we've stirred up a lot of trouble, a lot of people critical. And once we kill more civilians in a country like Yemen, we make more enemies. So this has been going on. This just didn't start under Trump, obviously, and it's probably was really escalated under Obama.
Yeah, it's a continuation of probably one of the most insane wars in history, although they're all insane. But, you know, the origin of what's happening now in Yemen is the Arab Spring, which, you know, we hold was at least partly, probably mostly, maybe completely cooked up by the U.S. administration under Obama as his plan of remaking the Middle East was the plan. And what it did is really create chaos throughout the region. In 2011, as a result of the Arab Spring, Saleh was deposed. He was the leader of Yemen. And Hadi was installed as president. The people who supported Saleh and the Houthis, who are an ethnic and religious minority related to the Shia practice, but not explicitly Shia, were obviously upset about this revolution. So they joined forces in an attempt to put Saleh back. Well, the Saudis didn't like that at all. They wanted Hadi in there. And Hadi was, by the way, the one who okayed U.S. drone attacks on Yemen. So both the U.S. and the Saudis liked that. So that's the beginning of the war. The Saudis started bombing Yemen to put back their guy, and the U.S. has provided targeting, intelligence, and military equipment. 10,000 civilians have been killed thus far. The country's been decimated.
And they like to bring the Iranians in and say the Houthis are allies with Iran, and that's the problem. We have to stop the Iranians. But that's a fight. It's a real fight going on between the Saudis and Iranians, and people can understand it. It has to do with religion, you know, the Sunnis against the Shia, oil. Of course, our hands aren't clean. That's the problem. We're always involved. It seems like Trump has changed the policy, Obama has changed the policy away from nation building, but that's Trump's policy too. But Trump has already said that more force against the terrorists, and it's easy to say so-and-so is a terrorist when they're merely suspects. You know, maybe they're involved, maybe they're not. So the continuation, this is, the policy really hasn't changed. I think some people were a little surprised it happened so quickly, but it was already in plans. But it sort of makes my case for, I worry about, the continuation, that there's not that much difference between two parties, that foreign policy is the same, the Federal Reserve is the same, and all these sorts of things. And people get annoyed, oh no, Trump is different. On this issue, it's not different. It's a continuation. We have troops over there. There are bombs, and we have troops on the ground. We got an officer killed over the weekend, and you know the CIA is involved, and you know that the special forces are involved. I guess the person killed was the special forces. Yeah. So we have the military. So we do have boots on the ground. But how many times have we seen or heard, and we sort of talked about this? I just wonder how many troops on the ground over there. If you add up all the CIA agents and all the special forces, we could have hundreds. But the big thing is we give them the bombs, and we support them and give them all the, intelligence gathering and trying to support this wonderful civil libertarian country, the Saudis. Mm. This is what is so crazy, you know. And, of course, no punishment to the Saudis, and their record is so bad. They're probably one of the worst when it comes to radicalism. They were involved in 9/11, the whole works. Nope, hands off. Don't do anything. I guess maybe there are some business deals over there.
Yeah, you know, it really shouldn't surprise us that the policy remains the same because the conventional wisdom has not really been substantively challenged by the new administration. The conventional wisdom is that interventionism will solve our problems in the region. It shouldn't really surprise us. But, you know, ostensibly what these airstrikes were and the commando raid was to deal with an al-Qaeda cell that they identified in Yemen. And apparently this had been identified under the Obama administration. They decided to wait and let Trump greenlight it, which he did. But, you know, the whole idea of what's happening in Yemen, as I said earlier, is insane because on the one hand, you have the Houthis aligned with Saleh. On the other side, you have the Saudis attacking them, trying to put the other guy back in, Hadi back in. But you also have this al-Qaeda there. Well, al-Qaeda and the Houthis are mortal enemies. Al-Qaeda is a radical Sunni organization, as we obviously know. And the Houthis are closer to Iran and to the Shia. So you have the U.S. attacking both al-Qaeda and then helping Saudi Arabia attack the Houthis, who are also fighting al-Qaeda. And this is how the billions of dollars are being spent. And it would be more funny if it wasn't for the fact that 300,000 children in Yemen are without food. Half of the population, 14 million people, are not getting food. There's a terrible famine, and yet the bombs continue to fall.
I don't like the word funny. I would say tragically funny. Yeah, you know, it's just a sad thing. But, you know, I heard one of the military officers, one of our new generals, was saying, well, it was terrible that we lost a soldier, which is absolutely true.
Sure.
But he died in the service of the United States. He died in working for our national security. He didn't use these words, but generally speaking, the presence of our troops overseas is to spread our Constitution, spread our goodness, and spread the issue of liberty. And they die in the cause of liberty and defending our Constitution. That always bothers me because these are unconstitutional wars. They're immoral, and we shouldn't be there. And if they want security, someday they're going to have to wake up and say, we're insecure because we're over there killing people. And now, the Yemenis had never had the people there, never were hostile to the Americans. But what about some of these civilian killings? What about the 8-year-old? Isn't that a tragic story?
Yeah, and it's a strange irony because, as you well know, the U.S., President Obama okayed a drone strike against Anwar al-Awlaki, who was a propagandist for al-Qaeda, but he was also an American citizen. If you remember back in 11, I think it was, he was killed without trial or even without charges being filed by a U.S. drone. He was assassinated, essentially. And then the U.S., a couple months later, went back and killed his son, who was also an American citizen. 16-year-old boy, also an American citizen, and their cousin, who they were having dinner outside. Well, strangely and ironically, according to press reports, in the strike over the weekend on Yemen, his sister was also killed. An 8-year-old young girl was also killed in the strike. So,
and to try to get attention on that, they put a picture of her on the internet, which really very, very sad.
Yeah.
But all these things in war are sad, especially, you know, when you realize, at least we come to the realization and the belief, that so much of this is unnecessary. You know, what is the purpose behind this? You know, there's a lot of confusion over there, and to think outsiders are going to come in. You say, well, some people may justify, but back in there, it was spontaneous. The people were, there was an uprising in Yemen. We had to overthrow the government, and that is it. But how many of these uprisings in the Arab Spring didn't have some attachment to our CIA and our weaponry, whether it was direct and intentional or indirectly, but all these, especially most recently, you know what was going on in Ukraine and of course in Syria. Think of the mess that's going on in Syria. That's one thing that I saw a report just today or yesterday that some of the supporters we have who are the moderates that we support, we're sending them better weapons. They said, boy, it's about time we got better weapons. Yeah. And they're not exactly in there to defend a country or defend Assad. They have different motivations, but many times they're in a position to actually hurt Assad. And remember what Tulsi Gabbard said, who made a trip over there. She says, there are no moderates in Syria. And she had a field trip over there, and she's very emphatic about that.
Among the rebels, You know, you mentioned the Arab Spring and how the U.S. May have been behind it. Well, look at the aftermath of this. This was supposed to be a great people's uprising to overthrow their dictators and have democracy sprouting up everywhere. Well, let's look at where it was most of, where it was you saw most of it. Egypt. Egypt is a dictatorship now, even worse than before. Libya is a total disaster, completely destroyed. Syria is the same. They weren't successful yet. The same. Tunisia, Islamists have taken over for the most part. There's no more freedom than there was in the first place. You know, it's interesting about the justification for the attacks on Yemen. And the president said it to today, we are going after Al-Qaeda. That's what we're doing. But, you know, Reuters, which, as you know, is pro-interventionist as it comes, you know, in these news agencies, they had a piece just a couple of months ago saying that Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen has made Al-Qaeda stronger and richer. So our allies, their actions in Yemen are helping Al-Qaeda, and we're ostensibly fighting Al-Qaeda while helping the group that's helping Al-Qaeda. Makes no sense.
And the countries we fear the most, the ones that we have already bombed, those seven countries that, and maybe there's some legitimacy to a degree on the justification of watching the immigrants from particular countries like that. Of course, we incited them, but no mention of Saudi Arabia. You know, they won't dare say boo against the Saudis. And that's a difficult story because it's been that way for a long time. And the association with the Saudis and 9/11, I think, is pretty explicit now. You know, the Congress even has, you know, voted on an issue that the Saudis have some responsibility, you know, for the people who were killed on 9/11. And yet, at the same time, here we are allying ourselves to, you know, bomb another country into smithereens. You've seen the pictures on what Yemen looks like. I mean, it's a disaster. And then the civilians, this bombing was significant. I saw two reports. Some said 36, others said 47, and there were 8, 10 children killed. And it's like you can't prevent that from happening. That's where it is, especially, you know, when you're sending off drones and bombs from the air and the accidents have been happening for a long time. And that's a good way to make us less secure, more enemies. And every time I see that, well, there were 10 civilians killed, but we got the leader of Al-Qaeda. Prove to me that you got the leader of Al-Qaeda. Oh, well, we have good intelligence. So, yeah, anyway, it's awfully aggravating, all because they endorse a foreign policy which should be totally strange to the American ethical beliefs and our Constitution, that this is a moral obligation for us to go about doing these things. And even if they sincerely believed it in their heart, they have to look at the results. I mean, just think of what's been going on since actually 1991, or especially since 2002 and 2003, in the 15 years of our war over there. And just looking at the tragedy of us supporting the same group as bin Laden when we were not too happy with the Soviets being in Afghanistan. And here we are doing exactly the same thing over. Don't they ever look at history?
You know, it's like we've not learned anything from Vietnam with the whole Vietnam body count, where the only thing that mattered was how many Viet Cong we killed. The same thing is true with Al-Qaeda in Yemen. Okay, we killed 10, but you've just bombed 10 families, and they're going to have someone come up and be the next leaders of Al-Qaeda. They have not learned from history. But, you know, the other thing that's very tragic about the continuation of the drone wars is the idea of the signature strikes, you know. And this is that you don't go after a particular person. You know, Joe Smith is a terrorist, we're going to get him. But you go after characteristics, military-aged men, active in certain activities, or doing something. So in that, you sort of put a target on a bunch of people who you don't know whether they're terrorists or not. If that doesn't make us less safer by radicalizing people, I don't know what does.
And can't you imagine if we were on the receiving end of something like this, And it was this sterilized killing. You know, the bombs drop out of the sky, and they know that the people, they don't even get a chance to shoot at the people who are bombing them. There's no defense whatsoever. I would think that the hostility will continue to grow. It is my belief that eventually, you know, what's going to happen is they will turn. The seeds have been sown for people to be turned against us. And they say, oh, well, that's their religious beliefs and all that. But I think the tables will be turned against the Saudi government. And that's when some big stuff is going to flow, because we will have to. Our government, unfortunately, before and now, will feel very obligated to use troops in there. Same way, what about the stirring up of, you know, like a major fight even with Iran? I mean, we're supposed to be friendlier with Russia, and that's good. We trade and we should be talking to them. But when we go after and say, well, we're going to stir up this trouble, there's some advocating, you know, we mentioned it yesterday, a preemptive strike, you know, on Iran. And that is not how to win friends and influence people, let me tell you.
Well, you know, it's easy to be despondent, you know, with all the things we talked about today. But, you know, as I wrote in the update to the RPI supporters today, I think we should also take heart, because I think now probably more than ever our position has a chance to be heard, because I think there will be more frustration with those who hope for something different under President Trump. And I think we have the ability really to influence like we haven't before. So let's end it on a positive note.
Yeah. No, and I've done that for years, is tried to end up with a positive note when I talk about all the problems. And fortunately, when I go to the campuses, it's been well received. Sometimes I would talk for 30 or 40 minutes and tell them about all the problems and give them 5 or 10 minutes of upbeat. And afterwards, many of the young people would say, this was very positive, and they liked it. So, yes, we should emphasize that. But I also think it's very important not to be in denial and thinking that that there shouldn't be somebody to point out maybe the real consequences of what's really going to be around, you know, going on. And I think that's our responsibility, to warn people what's going to happen. Because, you know, since 9/11, just think of how we have been undermining our liberties here at home. You know, the Patriot Act and all these, all the snooping things that our government does. Somebody needs to be warned that there are consequences of this. And the same way with the foreign policy, to think that we can just do this and say, well, we're spreading American exceptionalism. Well, believe me, nobody buys that overseas. And the other thing is what we're talking about, it's really sad. People can disagree with us and maybe debate us, but for the opposition to come and always throw it out, which had been thrown out at me, oh, you don't care about America, you're un-American, you're not patriotic, you don't care about the troops. Well, maybe when the dust settles, people will realize that really caring about America, caring about our Constitution, and caring about our security will mean that they will look at our Constitution and actually become a non-interventionist, mind our own business and protect this country and concentrate on the protection of liberty. I think that would go a long way to working for peace and prosperity throughout the world. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.